Okay, so let me continue in this vein of leap into spring, if you like. And we're going to start, I kind of like that this, we've got Father's Day next week. Don't forget, Father's Day, I've got five key things that fathers must do. Or must be. Who's going to come next week just to hear what Pastor Nigel's got to say? Well, let's not hope that anyway. All right, so Jared has to be here. So, but we're glad that you've came freely today, which is fantastic. All right, so what am I going to talk about today? The title of my message is, because we're starting this new series, that's right, but it sort of kind of starts after Father's Day, but I got a little bit ahead of myself. So I'm calling it Why Am I Here Today? But it's really just one part of another part, a whole lot of series, What on Earth Am I Here For?, which will continue after Father's Day. So the why of, I actually read the latest Psychology Today during the week. I thought I'd give you a few of those little insights from psychologists, because the why of any person is important, right? Why do we exist? What is our purpose? So psychologists today, these psychologists get together and they write little statements. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Here's the first one. It's very profound. The bottom line is that we exist. We are alive. Full stop. It's true. The challenge of our lives is how do we choose, this is psychologists today continuing, how do we choose to live our existence and how do we make meaning of our unique and individual journeys? Then it says, we stay open to the flow of life, its process and its content. Yet, within this openness, we take stands. We are an active participant in our life's events. We live in a paradox that nothing is for certain, yet we do not let this deter us from consciously deciding our life. Psychologists have a way of writing words, haven't they? And then he says, we believe there is something greater than ourselves. This is from Psychology Today. There is something greater than our personality or ego that is important to stay open to. So what's God's mission statement? John 3:16 gives us the why. Can we say it together? We'll say it from on the screen in the New Living Translation. Ready? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I like just the old translation, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came in such a way to identify with us. Oh, I'm so grateful that God identifies with us. Who felt God this morning as we were worshiping him? He has a way of getting through to us. He understands our feelings. He understands our pain. For God so loved the world, he gave. He understands our tiredness. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our faults. He understands everything about us. But he did not just leave it there. He went to the cross for you and for me. He didn't just go, well, I'll just come down and I'll be a king and I will rule over the people. He didn't do that at all. He actually went to the cross. His whole mission was to die for you. And I know I'm mostly preaching to the converted here, but what he has done for us is remarkable. That he, the Son of God, the most powerful being on earth, that the Father God would send his Son so that you and I would not have to have we simply don't die. We have an eternity before us through what Christ has done. The devil thought that he had won when Jesus was crucified, the most horrific of deaths to any human being. And he thought he had the final victory. But then all sorts of things to happen. Things began to shake. The curtain was ripped in two, and all these prophecies started lining up. And then at the end of that, on the third day, they run to the tomb, the women, to see if Jesus is there, and he's not, because he has risen from the dead. And so that is why we can live our life in victory. The why of our life is because Jesus came to set you and I free. And he took our pain, he took our sin, he took everything that we're desperate about, and he said, I've nailed it to that cross. You're mine. Will you accept what I have done for you? Will you truly believe with all your heart? He was not only our Redeemer, but he's come to have relationship with us, both now and for eternity. And there were these, only in the Gospel of Luke, actually, there's this story of 10 lepers. And they hear that Jesus might be coming down the road. Now, lepers, back in these times, in Bible times, were outcasts. They couldn't live within the city walls, and they were living together outside the walls, just hanging about. I guess they were just, you know, scratching themselves, looking after one another as best they could. And they heard that Jesus was coming. And so they start to say, Jesus, Jesus, heal us, heal us. And they're calling out, Jesus. And Jesus calls back, go and show yourselves to the priests. And they looked at one another. They had a bit of a discussion and they thought, well, we've got nothing better to do. Why don't we just do what he asks? And so on the way to the priest, they were all totally healed. God is a miracle worker. He is a way maker. And so this is an important part of our life, because who knows that you and I cannot do it on our own. That we need a Savior, we need someone who is for us, and the best place for us to worship God and believe in who He is through the house of God. He loves His church. And so it's just really interesting, because at the end of this story, only one of the 10 lepers comes back to find Jesus. One of the 10. So Jesus sees the man and says, I recognize that you're the one I said to go show the priest. It's good to see that you're well. And the man's bowing down. And he's actually, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. And Jesus says, weren't there another 9 of you? And he goes to the man that's there and he places his hand on his head and he says, go on your way, your faith has made you well. It's not necessarily about what God just does for us. It's what he has done for us internally. He has given us a future. And I am grateful for our future. And part of our Leap into Spring program is that you and I want to see a greater future, like the leper, like those that not only are they being set free, and it's great that we're giving and helping people with their natural needs, but it's also great when we hear that they have come to know God for themselves. And so, for God so loved the world. The mission of Jesus was the most difficult from a human perspective. Crucifixion is the most painful way to die. And yet he was faithful to his mission, because he did it to save you and I. Is anyone grateful for what God's done for us today? And the whole plan of God talks about this in John 3:16, that none should perish. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not, but have everlasting life or eternal life. It is why we started the church almost 25 years ago, Easter next year. It is the reason we gave to our children when they asked why we would take them to church every week when they were younger. Because the church exists for those outside it. It is why we worship God, because we know what He has done for us. And I am here to make a difference in another person's life. That's the mission of every Christian, because for God so loved the world. And if God so loved you, our whole mission is that we are to love others unconditionally. He went all the way. It's why churches thrive so much underground in persecuted countries. He's left us with His mission, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the only way to find true freedom, hope, and a future is through Jesus. There's one thing I'd love to say, because I've had it said to myself from professional people, you just need to find yourself. You just need to find Jesus. Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. This is the core of Christianity. And Leaping to Spring helps us focus on the mission of Christ. It's why we're here, that none should perish. And while you and I are flourishing, the world is perishing. While you and I are in pretty much freedom here in Western Australia, and yet there are people around us that still need a Saviour. Second Corinthians 5:18, God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Oh Lord, I thank You that my unique personality, come on, why don't we say this to ourselves? I thank You for my unique personality. That You have made me to be a witness in someone else's life. I have a story that another needs to hear to bring glory to Your name. Amen? That's right. I was so blessed when I heard Pastor Murray Stent last weekend, the video. We're going to watch it at the end of this in a moment, actually. And he's our local pastor just in Meanjibup. Is it called New Life Church, something like that? Great Life Church. Thanks, Steve. Steve just lives around the corner. And Great Life Church. And what I was most grateful for was, because we helped him by sponsoring him to reinvent his church. He's been a pastor for 33 years, and he actually said himself that you know, he was getting a little bit old, and the church was getting a little bit old. And he said, I'm so grateful that we've been able to reinvent ourselves and have younger people coming into the church. And so he said on the video, he then said, I want to do what C3 Fremantle did for us. He wants to sponsor another church. That's exciting, right? That's it starts with one. Who knows, there's a snowball effect. And the religious leaders of Jesus' time, they never quite got it. They thought if they just fasted and prayed a bit more, sprinkled a bit of holy oil around, that it'll all be okay. But one leper got it, and he was a Samaritan. And Samaritans and Jews don't really mix, but he was blessed by what Christ had done, crossing all cultural barriers. There's a 1.5-page book in the Bible called Jonah. And I think all of us have got a little bit of Jonah in us. I don't want to do that. And there's this city called Nineveh. I mean, the Bible says it's about 125,000, don't quote me. Quite a large town. And he goes, well, I'm not going there. They're wicked people. He's telling God this. I mean, it's pretty scary to actually be talking like that to God. But anyway, he did. And so he ran away. No one here has ever run away from God, have they? He thought, no, I don't want to do that. So he runs and he thinks, I'll get as far away as I possibly can. Now, they didn't have aeroplanes back then, so the next best thing was get on a ship. So he got on a ship, and he's out in the ocean, and the storm just gets so bad. The sailors, because they were quite superstitious back in those days, the sailors go, what have you done, Jonah? You must be a really bad man. And he goes, well, actually, I just didn't want to do what God wanted me to. And he goes, this is the only thing you can do. You're just going to have to throw me out of the ship. And they look at each other like, we can't throw you out of the ship. You're a man of God. He goes, you've just got to throw me out of the ship. They go, we can't do that. And so they, in the end, he kind of convinces them almost by putting a rope around his own neck. Not really, but anyway, close. And they throw him overboard, and immediately the ocean is calm again. Immediately. The Bible says that those seamen came to know Christ, came to God because they realized the power of God. Also, God had a savior even though Jonah did wrong. And God has a savior for each and every one of us when we feel like we may have gone off track, or when we feel like, you know what, there's no way, but there is always a way back. And God had a humongous fish. Now, I don't know if it was a whale, but it was humongous. It was one of those big, 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 big dinosaur-type fish with a huge mouth. And we know that Jonah was sort of in the whale with all the, in the stomach, right? So it's a big fish and he's happy in there. Well, he's not really happy. It stinks in a big fish's stomach. I haven't actually been inside of one, but I'm told it's pretty bad. And eventually what happens is that God's had enough, because Jonah's going, well, I did this and I did that, and he's praying all these eye prayers in the fish of the whale. And so the fish goes, well, I've had enough of you too, and regurgitates him out. And he finds his way back to land. And God says, now go back to Nineveh and do what I asked you to do in the first place. Because God never gives up on the purpose of God for you and I. And the purpose of God for you and for me is, for God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave, and he gave, he gave, he gave Blammer. And he gave Alan. And he gave Greg. And he gave Jonathan. Better add a lady in there somewhere, hadn't I? And he gave Juliet Maria. He gave Butchie. He gave Mel. He gave Claire. And he gave each and every one of us a purpose. And that purpose is designed around his will for other people's lives. So Jonah went back there, and he's still pretty angry. He's like, I mean, this guy just didn't get it. But who knows that you and I can be slow learners at times. Am I the only one? And so he's like, he's supposed to be prophesying like Charlie did a minute ago, who thought that was okay. You know, he's preaching life. He's saying, that's not going to be you. You're going to have a job. And that was awesome. But Jonah's going, God wants me to tell you that you need to turn around from your sin. You're a wicked bunch. I really don't like you, but God seems to like you. So will you just, I don't really care, to be honest, but I'm telling you what God's telling me to do. You've got to turn around now or it's bad news for you all. And they decide, we believe it's the word of God. As bad as he was at communicating, we believe it was God. And so they turned around from their sin and they actually all came to the knowledge and salvation of the Lord. 125,000 people. Because God has a plan for each person. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And maybe we can't be that Jonah, especially not a grumpy one. But together, what a difference we can make around our world. Can we be these kind of people? The church is God's vehicle to bring new life into our world. And over the years, I've had many people ask me to pray for them. What's God's plan for my life? And it's the wrong question. The right question is, what's God's plan? Full stop. What's God's plan? Say it with me. What's God's plan? Because once you have God's plan, everything else is going to be okay. It's not what's God's plan for my life. It's what's God's plan. You start doing God's plan. You start doing what Jonah should have done originally. And then you know where your life is headed. You have purpose. You have meaning. And you have an eternity with other believers. For God so loved the world. Why don't we stand to our feet? That he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, while we're standing here, I just want to ask the entire, everyone that's here this morning, if you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life, if you haven't been following him and your relationship is out of sync with him today, you're backslidden, you're away from God, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, I want us to pray this prayer together, and we can know, because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that he's got you. He's just asked for you to come back to him. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Come into my heart right now. I believe what you have done for me on the cross. You've taken my sin. You've taken my sorrow. You've taken my pain. You've taken my shame. You've nailed it. I accept what you have done for me. In Jesus' name, I accept you as both my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you're in one of those three categories, you need to come back to him. You have never prayed a prayer like that in public, or you're not sure you're going to heaven, please raise your hand and I'll see it. You can pop it down again. Father, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you that you have given them their incredible purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.